Good evening, St. Petersburg, and welcome to the Duke Energy Center of the Arts Mahaffey Theater. I am Kathy Wright, First Vice President, Market Manager of Valley Bank, and your 2020 Vice Chair of Membership. And I'm super excited about that. I am honored to welcome you to the St. Pete Chamber's 121st Annual Meeting presented by Valley Bank and Johnson Pope, Boker, Russell, and Burns, LLP. Our bank is proud to invest in this Chamber of Commerce, the best one ever, quite simply because we see the return on our investment. I have witnessed firsthand the meaningful work and the amazing people you will hear about tonight. It's not a secret anymore. We know something special is going on here at this chamber, and we're proud to support it and can't wait to do more. So let's get on with the show. Please allow me to introduce our 2019 Board of Governors Chamber Chair, Bill Kent. Congrats.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you all for coming tonight. Welcome to the Chamber's 121st Annual Meeting. If this is your first time, welcome. You're quickly going to see that this is unlike any annual meeting you've attended. It is our intent to stay on schedule, get you out of the room in an hour, so then we can transition everyone back into the reception area so we can have food and fellowship and enjoy some wonderful food. It is important to start tonight, though, recognizing sponsors that make this unconventional night possible. Their investment provides all of our members two free tickets to tonight's experience. So please join me in thanking these Berg brands while their names appear on the screen behind me. Once again, our presenting sponsors, Johnson, Pope, Boker, Ruppel, and Burns, and Valley Bank. Our program sponsors, Raymond James, the Tampa Bay Rays, Tampa Bay Rowdies, St. Anthony's Trulieve, and Wanamaker Jensen Architects. Our reception sponsors, Duke Energy, CI Group, Kimberly Horn, LED Pro Event Services, Regions Bank, SPCA Tampa Bay, and TECO. Let's give a special thanks to our parking sponsor, Bill Edwards Foundation for the Arts. Your parking was free tonight. And to all of our corporate and supporting and food sponsors that you do not see but are behind the scenes and up on the screen, let's give them a thank you. I'd also like to take a moment to welcome our elected officials that are joining us tonight. Please stand and wave to the crowd as I call your name. Our Mayor Rick Kreisman, along with Tampa Mayor Jane Castor, are out of town at the Mayor's Conference and they send their regrets. Additionally, our City Council meeting is running long and they'll be joining us when their hard work is done tonight. Our City Development Administrator, Alan Delisle, Assistant City Administrator Tom Green, and we are delighted to welcome our partners from the County Commission, Charlie Justice, Janet Long, Karen Seal, and our Thinking Outside the Berg attendee, Ken Welch. We'd also like to welcome a few additional partners. We have the Chair of the Tampa Bay Chamber of Commerce, Marianne Ference, and the newly hired president and CEO of the now Amplify Clearwater Chamber of Commerce, Amanda Payne. Welcome. We also have many of our past chamber chairs present, but there's too many to call tonight. So if you'd please stand and be recognized. finally, I want to take my personal privilege and recognize the people most important to me. They're up there in that box over there. My wife, thank you, honey. Your support and encouragement has been awesome. Thank you. My family, my mom, dad, and daughter Kennedy are up there. Thank you for your understanding and taking care of me. You've been awesome. And finally, my partners that are out there from George F. Young and Commercial Partners, thank you for your willingness to support me being here and being away from the office as much as I was. Thank you very much. As your outgoing chair, I want to thank you all for this opportunity. It has been amazing to be part of this special organization, and it has been an honor and a privilege. I have heard from past chairs the need to be prepared for surprises, events, activities. Each chair gets something a little unexpected. Well, my year started out pretty smooth, and then we got something that none of us were expecting, and we found ourselves with a personal challenge that no one saw coming. I'm not going to talk about Chris's experience. I know he'll fill you all in with his remarks, but rather, I'd like to focus on what I discovered from his absence. You find out a lot about folks when the going gets a bit tough. The first thing I discovered is we're not alone. It's not just Chris that cares about our city, about our efforts, and about each and every member. I discovered the 2019 Executive Committee, who was willing to show up, speak up in places they may never have gone if Chris was with us. Their names are on the screen in front of you. They did a lot of heavy lifting this year. Ryan Griffin, Anne Drake McMullen, Sean McClung, Dr. Cherie Surrendrum, Steve Westfall, Jeff Baker, Sandra Brahm, Martha Bowden, Jim Dixon, Paul Carter, you've been awesome, and thank you for working with me. And because we shared that workload and showed up in more places, we now know better than ever and understand what it means to be chambering. And it wasn't just those 10 names, those 10 good people that worked a little bit harder. But now imagine adding 40 more on the screen that you see behind me, the 2019 Board of Governors. It's an impressive list. We have had some of the most diverse, courageous, and caring professionals on our board and our committees they manage. They responded to the call for more active engagement while staying focused and planning our next strategic program. You're going to hear more about that in a little bit. I also discovered an amazing staff who showed me grace and care in Chris's absence, and they dealt with a lot. They dealt with a couple floods and some other unusual events, and they handled it without a hitch. So let's acknowledge them and recognize them. So, even though we've had our challenges, we came through with flying colors. Our chamber was able to do a lot, so let me share some of those with you. We welcomed 306 new members. We celebrated 74 ribbon cuttings for new and growing businesses. We engaged 50 business and community leaders for our annual Thinking Outside the Berg trip to Minneapolis-St. Paul. We convened our third annual Grow Smarter Summit, inviting over 200 members of the St. Pete community to speak on economic equity. We graduated 52 entrepreneurs from the Florida Print Solutions, Inc. Entrepreneurial Academy, presented by Everyone Needs a Coach. We hosted the inaugural St. Pete Pitch Night, powered by Regions Bank, awarding $5,000 to the winning presenter, Kids Saving Oceans. If you ever get a chance to attend one, do it. It is inspiring. We contributed over 300 community hours with the St. Pete Young Professionals Program, enhancing our community. Thank you. And finally, we graduated a class of 40 flourishing leaders with our 50th, come on, the Golden Class of Leadership St. Pete. Well done. So, we were busy. We missed Chris, but we had a plan. And all these activities were part of a long-term chamber strategic plan created in 2013. Our goal of the plan was to live up to our mission statement and conduct ourselves as the preeminent leader of business. And then we partnered. We partnered with the city. We collaborated with our community leaders, created and reestablished the key building blocks of our economic development success. There's a bunch of them. So, I wasn't expecting that slide right there, I'm gonna be honest. Not the one I was expecting, but it's okay. So now, as we look back over the last 6 years, I am more confident than ever, and indeed, we have a competitive advantage. We have volunteer leaders that I know, really know, the subject matter, and it's not like in other markets that you will see tonight. We have city leaders that share our care for this city, and we have a family of chamber organizations, this one, that carry us whatever will carry us to whatever comes up next and make an impact. So to start us on that conversation of what's next, I would like to welcome back our president and CEO, Chris Steinacher. You out there?
Hello, Bill.
Welcome back.
How are you? All right.
I'm doing better now.
Well done.
Thank you.
You've come a long way in a year. I appreciate that.
Who knew?
How about another year for Bill Kent, everybody? All right. Thank you, Bill. And thank you all for coming out tonight and celebrating the 121st. We're actually older than the city of St. Pete itself. So that's a pretty special thing to be, and we've been leaders that whole time. But thank you for allowing me to come back on stage and join you for an annual meeting that I really didn't participate that much of the annual meeting part of it. I didn't do a lot of work this year. I took care of my health. But I want to share with you a little bit about that, but I get to do a great part of our program. So you just heard that we kept the momentum going. You'll hear about a few of the bright spots that we feel like we want to always start every meeting with. Let's talk about the good things so we can repeat those in our community, that we can duplicate and replicate what's good about our community. And that's what I get the chance to do. And then you'll hear about us talking about what's next. But I'd rather start with just, you know, this whole notion of me getting sick. And Bill did a great job, and that executive committee did my job for me. So Bill, again, thank you very much for that. And Donatelli, I know you're up in that Regents box, and I know you picked the right year now, right? So you're feeling pretty good. And Drake, I know you're feeling pretty good. You picked the right year. Bill, sorry about that. Bill had when you meet with a new chair, they always give you advice and their rules of how I'm going to engage with my new boss for the year. And he gave me three things. He said, and I don't even remember all three of them. He said, one of them was, don't surprise me. I don't need any problems, and I don't babysit. I'm like, all right. Fine, man, I can do all those. By 5 months in, he's like, shit, you did all three of those things, man. but he held it. So then I was like, okay, Bill, I'm kind of awkward. I haven't done all this stuff this year. You guys have. Shouldn't you do it? Why am I even part of this? He goes, well, let's do the bright spots and talk a little bit about what you're doing. And I go, great. I go, cool, we'll have the big video screen. So as you guys know, I had prostate cancer, and I was like, you know, the technology's so awesome, they actually have it on video now, right? So then I get back here, and Bill's like, oh, that video, you can't show that video, man.
We still want to eat tonight.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's no fun. That's a bummer. And I go, well, you know what? And he goes, why don't you do it the St. Pete way? So we always talk about the St. Pete way, and we're defining that. We're writing about what this is. And one of the things about the St. Pete way is we love our art, right? We care so much about our art, right? So I had the chance, the Florida Craft Art I know Katie's not here. I think some of the folks from Florida Craft Art are here, Michelle and others from the board. Florida Craft Art up on Central Avenue, every year around November, they have a Florida Craft Art Festival. I hope you've been. It's one of the best things around, right? I think they get about 110 artists from across the country, some of the best, some great local ones and others. So I got inspired. So I was walking through the festival with my wife, and I think I saw the turtles there, some of our other great chamber members, and all of a sudden a piece of art just struck me. You know how like art will just strike you, and it creates conversation, and it inspires or questions your humanity, and just everything you learn in college, or you're supposed to be studying in college, and if you go to those classes, you know, you do that. So I was like, man, so I go, Bill, I found it. I found a piece of art. So can I permit you me to share a piece of art that I found? Okay, cool. Let's try to get in on this. So what this is, from an artist, her name's Sandy Fermato. It's actually railroad spikes that were bent into, I don't know if you can see that well. Yeah, it's that awkward. But isn't that awesome? I found that in St. Pete. It's beautiful. So if we don't talk about anything else tonight at the reception, let art be our guide and say, hey, when you saw that, what did you think about that whole thing? I would, when you get to it, and if we can bring that picture back up, I would draw your attention to the gentleman on the table gripping the table. And his elbow bent in somewhat of a little painful position. Just talk about that a little bit. Thank you for letting me do that part of it. That's just really important to me, right? See how art can make you feel good. Where's Mariana Murphy? I just saw her around here. Doesn't art make you feel good, Mariana? Huh? Doesn't that make you feel good, right? How good is that? That's why we love art in our community, because we can learn things from it every time. So anyway, I just wanted to, before I wrap up this whole thing about my health, I do want to say thank you to a few other folks. First of all, most importantly, is my wife, Julie. So Julie, can you just please stand up for a second? I'm not the only one who's ever had cancer in this room. I know many survivors who've come to me and talked to me about it, and I know others have had that in their family. So I'm not trying to make it like it's just about me, but I just want to share a few things. So, Julie, the caregiver is usually the one that rarely takes care of themselves through this situation and gives it all to the other people. So first of all, thank you for that. But yeah, absolutely, thank you. But so just so you know, a couple background. First of all, while I was still working, trying to pretend like I didn't have it, she was actually traveling looking for the solution for me, and she found the solution for me, so thank you very much. So she was working for me and for you guys while I was working here. But then the best part of this whole situation, as you know, anytime you get a trauma of any kind, you need great mental health. So we've got a lot of great physical health, the great hospitals that are here tonight, and a lot of other great caregivers, but mental health is a lot of this thing, right? You can only do so much about cancer, and the rest of it you just have to kind of hope and pray and thank God and hope and all those kind of things, but you also need mental health counseling. Julie's got a member of the Chamber of Commerce, Mind Body Lab, and that's what she does. So her actual gift is to help people in traumas get through that, and I'm married to her, so how lucky am I, first of all, Matt?
I'm married to you.
Thank you. All right. So, did I give you the microphone? There it is.
I see it right there.
All right, cool.
Hello.
So, tell people a little bit. So what Julie does is mental health counseling, but it's with energy medicine, and it's tapping and touching because you have trauma stuck in your body. My parents died of cancer when I was young, so when I heard of cancer, I was like, I'm dead, right? So that's what you quickly think to, but actually you don't have to quickly think to that, because your body will be very, your subconscious will be very literal and go, oh shit, you want to die? Okay, I'll show you. I'll kill you. But you got to do those demons. So that's what she does. But Julie, you also do a couple of other things that you'll see me do every once in a while. And so she has little tips and tricks. Give these folks one tip or trick that you can show to help them understand what you do.
Sure thing. First of all, we're glad you're back, right?
Thank you.
On many levels, I'm glad you're back. And thank you for all that. That was very kind. So you're right. Trauma is a very upsetting situation. Any kind of upsetting news can put you into a state of shock. So the first thing you have to do is get out of shock. But with respect to everybody else in this room, everybody deals with stress day in, day out. Watch the news. It's stressful. Your job, stressful, everything. So there's something you could do as simple as putting your hand on your head. And if you're willing to entertain me, I don't care which hand, put one hand on your forehead. Across the forehead, very lightly, brings the blood back to your brain. Your hand is like a magnet. And when you put your hand on your forehead like this, you bring the blood back to the prefrontal cortex so you can think and make good decisions. How many of you have ever done something you later regretted or either did something or said something? Every hand should go up. If you could just remember, don't wait until a trauma to do this. Do it every day and get the blood back in your brain so you can think clearly. So that was one of many things we did.
All right.
Thank you.
Love you. All right. Not everybody gets a kiss tonight, okay? That was just for you. All right, so I wanted you to share that because if you are dealing with those issues, Julie and a lot of other great mental health professionals in this community, but Mind Body Lab, and what's next for Mind Body Lab? They're expanding. Get a new facility, a bigger place for more teaching of what she's doing. So be on the lookout for that. Okay, so and I'm about finished with this, I swear. But so many of you get invited to ribbon cuttings, and some of you don't come. My ambassadors, where are my ambassadors? Thank you for all my ambassadors. They show up for everything. We have 80 strong ambassadors, and they show up for ribbon cuttings. Sometimes I go to ribbon cuttings, and I don't know anything about what I'm getting myself into. I literally will show up with the mayor, and we'll kind of go, wait, where are we? And then I bring the golden scissors, and we do that. But over the 9 years I've done this now, think about it, I've done about 60 or 70 each year. You do a lot of those, right? So that's a lot of businesses. You start getting really curious, and you start seeing things about these businesses that you know are you going to be successful? Are you going to, you know, what are you trying to do with your business? So we start getting really curious about businesses. And the more you get curious about businesses in your community, the more you start falling in love because you realize it's this human drama story. Every business is just a story of a person trying to make something happen for us, right? So if you start finding the story, you can really begin to really understand what you can do for these folks. So I did a ribbon cutting in South St. Pete where you're going to hear more about it. We're trying to really accelerate the growth of the businesses in South St. Pete. I did a ribbon cutting there with the nurse practitioners of Pinellas County. Do we have a picture of that up? Let's see if we have a picture of that. I think we do. I'll keep talking while we do. There it is. Okay, so that's it. So standing in the middle of that is Ron Shea. Ron Shea, please stand up. All right, so, and she didn't know she was going to be talking tonight, so. So let me tell you just how this goes. So Ron Shea created a new model for healthcare, and rather than, and if there's any doctors in the audience, please, this is not, I'm not going to make funny on this one, but sometimes you wait forever for a doctor, right? And you just want to get in and out, or you just want some simple advice or some quick things, and maybe you don't want to go to an emergency room because it's not that, so who do you go to? So she's found a niche where if nurse practitioners got together, four nurse practitioners in this case, put their resources together and created what's called Nurse Practitioners of Pinellas County, where they see folks on simple issues. And when I first got there, because there's so many beautiful women and so much going on, I'm like, oh, this must be for women's health. And I was like, gosh, yeah, you know, I'm talking to her going, I'd love to do something with you just because I like working with my businesses. And she goes, well, I do stuff for men too. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, what is it you could do for me? And she goes, well, when was the last time you had a PSA blood test? And I was like, what is it? And she goes, oh, you need one. And that started, you know, we did that in February.
Yes.
Right? So that's when that whole thing started. I had no idea. I was on schedule to get a PSA for who knows. And it came back way high, higher than you ever wanted to see it. And Ron Shea navigated some of my health for me on that part of it. So thank you.
Thank you.
So how's the first year been? Besides just dealing with me, how's the first year been?
You were awesome, Chris. We just made our first year at Nurse Practitioner of Pinellas this month. Yeah. Thank you. So Nurse Practitioner of Pinellas, we opened up to serve the underserved population over in the south side of St. Petersburg, as well as help Chris and others that suffers from chronic and acute conditions. I say to you tonight, Chris, as well as Julie, I'm not a hero. I was doing my job. So thank you so much.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. All right. So I think that's it about my health. Is that enough about my health? Everybody done with that? So I'm back. Just so you're aware, I got a great Christmas present the week of Christmas. I got my 90-day clearance that I don't have any more of that in me. And now for the next, every 90 days, I go back for a while. We'll get it checked up, but we'll just keep monitoring it, and I'll be here, and I'm ready to get going again for this year, all right? So that's a good story. So I'm going to keep moving. I do know that there's some of my other partners here that helped me in that as well. Dr. Laura Brown, are you here somewhere? Yep, there we are. Here clapping, Dr. Laura Brown. You're awesome. I know all of my CBD and Trulieve and all my other partners are here. Hey, don't laugh at that. Right? Thank you. All right. So it takes a village, guys, and we got them all here. All right. All right. So final piece of this, and Scott helped me with this. This is Scott Smith, everybody. Please stand up, Scott. Scott is not a doctor, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, good. So we're not going to talk about health, but let me throw one thing at your way, Scott. You guys did all the technology that found everything for me. So your facilities, all your practitioners and everybody were part of my team as well. So thank you for that as well. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is great to have you back. You look great. So, so glad that you're back.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, so Scott, let's start talking about what I really love, economic development. Okay. So, I went over to St. Anthony's, kind of in a daze every once in a while when they tell you that news, but I see you moving dirt. So tell people, so now we're going to go start talking about what's next, what's good, what's happening in this community that we should be proud of, okay? So Scott, what are we proud of at St. Anthony's? What are you proud of that you're, what's next for you?
First, I'm proud of our 89-year history of caring for this community and our legacy of caring for this community that our Franciscan Sisters of Allegheny Wow. brought to us in 1931. Through that time period, this community has continued to have trust and faith in St. Anthony's. We continue to grow. We've got a huge major tower project that's coming forward at St. Anthony's. It's the second phase of a full master facility plan. It's about $152 million of construction that we're doing currently at St. Anthony's.
How
you
much?
Can see a render. $152 million. That's phase two. Our first phase was $40 million, and the phase beyond this will be another $60 million that we'll be investing in this local facility.
That's economic development right there. Thank you, partner.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you. That's what we love to see, because it's about how the care is going to go over there, but you also know every construction worker now is coming home every night with some food and some money and a family, right? So build, buddy. Keep building for us, all right? All right, so what else is next in our community? I don't know. Let's see. Is there anyone close to me if I could just find somebody? Dawn Dodge. Dawn, can I talk to you for a second? So Dawn is with Kimley Horn. Dawn, welcome. So first of all, before I get, Dawn's part of a big team of folks, and there's a lot of folks. I don't want to offend anybody. There's a lot of people working on our pier that's going to be open this year, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before I do that, yes. Kimley Horn made we did a ribbon cutting for you guys
yes,
this
did.
Last year,
yes.
too. So you guys have been in St. Pete now almost
a year.
Almost a year.
Yeah, we celebrate our year. We're already expanding, bumping out of space. So
how many people are employed?
We're about 26.
All right, so 26 new employees in St. Pete. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I'd say about 90% actually live in St. Pete. They
All right.
From Tampa. So.
We call the people that live here and work here the lucky ones. Okay. All right, so the lucky ones.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then you also had a baby?
Yes.
All right, so congratulations. So how old is your baby now?
10 months.
10 months, okay, cool. So well done.
Thank you.
All right. So I know there's a lot of folks that can speak on the pier. I haven't been out there much. You get to go out there quite a bit.
Yes,
just tell these people
yes.
what you think you're, what's the highlight for you of what you're seeing and what's next on this whole thing. And I know we got some pictures to join you.
Yeah, I'd say the highlight for me is working on this project for over 3 years is finally we're at that point where it's coming together. And I just feel like the whole community is going to be so impressed by what has been put together. When you're working on a project, you get a little jaded because it's just, lines and diagram. You're dealing with construction, and it's a really complicated site. But at the end of the day, now we're finally starting to get that excitement, and the community's really going to be
beautiful. And so when does it open?
I'm not answering that question.
And it said you would not answer that question.
Yes.
Huh. All right. Is Balestra here? Chris Balestra? Yeah. Is he? All right. I think we're going to start a soft opening in the March, April time frame, and by summertime, we'll have all the different components open on this thing. All right? So let's enjoy the pier. Thank you, Don. All right. So I like big things, right? You know, like, let's do big construction because it means good things are happening. And it's not just in downtown. Let's talk about everywhere in our region that we're growing. In fact, look at this. This is so awkward that you find people in here. This is Chris Minner, everybody, from Tampa International Airport.
Y'all.
Thank you.
Chris, welcome back.
Thank you, buddy. So Chris and I do a lot of marketing for Tampa Bay and St. Pete through what they have done is successfully develop that airport. Does anybody enjoy going into Tampa International Airport?
Yeah. That's right. Okay.
And now I know my St. Pete Clearwater Airport people are here too, right? So we love you guys too, all right? So please, I will make it over there. But right now I'm here. So Chris, you guys, first of all, every time I go in the place, it looks brand new, and it gets better every time. But there's something next for you guys too. Just tell us what's next.
Well, Chris, so we have definitely have more construction that's coming. You guys have probably seen the roadway construction. 30 miles an hour is our speed limit now on our roadways. I'm watching you. But what that's going to do is enable us to double the curbside capacity. With the construction that we're doing now, we're going to be able to serve 34 million annual passengers at Tampa International Airport. Last year, we served 22 million. We're on track for 23 next year. And you might have seen the Wall Street Journal finally agrees that we are America's favorite airport, number one ranked for mid-sized airports.
That's awesome.
Hey, but the other thing that's going to continue for Tampa International Airport is partnership, Chris. And, you know, last year y'all helped us celebrate, and in part because of Chris and the St. Pete Chamber helping us to recruit Delta Airlines to add that new nonstop flight to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam,
yes,
guys, huh?
That's right. In fact, J.P. Dubuque was on that inaugural trip with us, and that flight was such a success. They're coming back with a vengeance this year. We also have Southwest Airlines as our biggest carrier at Tampa International Airport. Last Saturday, they added a new nonstop flight on Saturdays to Columbus, so they continue to grow in our airport.
Perfect.
As well.
Awesome. Good deal. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. In fact, did you mention Southwest Airlines?
Southwest, yeah.
All right. Open up your program right now. If you, where you see where I'm supposed to, I'm already supposed to be done, so I'm not going to look at them. But if you look where the program is, someone has one, there's a sticker on it with an airplane. If you have that program, and I know we passed it out tonight, if you have it, that's worth two free tickets on Southwest Airlines anywhere Southwest flies. So be looking for it. Make friends with the ushers if they haven't passed it out yet. All right, now calm back down. It's two tickets. Let's get going here. I'm late. All right. I got to keep talking. Who else can I talk to? So usually at this point in the program, if you've been here the last couple of years, I bring in Mr. Bill Edwards because I don't think we'd have this theater in this shape if it wasn't for Mr. Bill Edwards. So unfortunately, Bill can't be here tonight, but I see the new president of the Bill Edwards Foundation for the Arts here with me. Amy, can you please stand up?
Hello, everybody. Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. Good to see you again.
Good to see
Welcome.
You too.
Amy, you just got your job.
Give me a hug.
Absolutely.
I'm loving my new job. I'm loving Bill Edwards. I'm living the dream. I'm one of the lucky ones. I live in the zip code. I work in the zip code. I love everyone in the zip code.
There we go. And wait, before you... So first of all, everybody loves you right now because you didn't have to pay to park. You guys
that
are right here because
right.
of Amy Miller. So that was her job.
You're welcome. Well, this is your theater, and that's what Bill would always say. This is your theater, and he wants you to support it, to sustain it. Chris asked me what's next, and I wanted to tell everybody we're just trying to raise money. The Bill Edwards Foundation for the Arts, if you don't already know, is the supporting arm of everything that happens in the Mahaffey Theater. So we're like yin and yang. The foundation doesn't exist without the theater. The theater does not exist without the foundation. So we need your support to continue all the programming in theater. I get complaints sometimes about the quality of programs happening. So if you want things to improve and grow and enhance, you need to support. And I'm rolling out some new special event series. They'll be really fun. Some are free, some are nominal ticket prices. And I'm also launching a corporate participation program, so there's many new ways to become engaged and involved at the theater/foundation.
Beautiful.
So please, please, please support. My staff are in the lobby if you want to join tonight, and we're giving away gifts for anyone who joins tonight.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done. All right. Thank you, Amy. So you heard something that's very important that I know my Arts Alliance folks would tell you, too, is if you're a business and you're not invested in the arts, you're not a good St. Petersburg business. I got to be real honest with you, man. You got to invest in the arts. And it's easy. You can buy a piece of art. Look how fun that is. I don't know if you put that in your lobby, but you might. So it doesn't cost a lot, but just invest. And here's Amy saying the corporate community can help us get great acts here as well. So please be part of that as well. All right, cool. If you open up the program again, and next to where I'm supposed to already be gone, there's a sticker with a star on it. If you have that one, Amy is giving you two passes to some upcoming show to get you started on this. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Amy, as well. All right. All right, I'm tired. All right, I don't work this hard, Bill. This is crazy. And you do this every day? Holy cow. All right.
You're doing great. I hope he hasn't locked his knees out there.
Yeah, Bill's wondered why he's standing up there right now. And I'm supposed to already be back up there. Paul, I'm not supposed to talk to you today, but this is Paul Carter, and without Paul the last 10 years, I don't know if I've been still have my job, so thank you for that. No, you don't get to talk. No. I give you this mic, we lose the rest of the show. I can't do that to you. I'm sorry, Paul. But my buddy J.P. Dubuque, can you please stand up? J.P. Dubuque, President and CEO of the St. Petersburg EDC. Good guy. He's a smart man. All right, JP. How are you, brother? So you just got back. So as you know, a couple years ago, and you heard it here, we were like, gosh, we've got a great story of St. Pete. We're doing good things, but where are the people? Where are the businesses? Where are jobs for our employees? Where are jobs for my neighbors? How do we do that? We got on our, we put a plan together. We raised some money. We hired a great executive. JP, you've been on board 3.5 years. Just tell people how it went this last year for you.
Well, let me tell you, that we are really rolling as a community, and it's not just because of our efforts, but I will tell you, I see a lot of our 70 investors that we have. Some of these folks are in the room today. Thank you for your support, including our friends at the Chamber and our friends at the city who are great supporters of what we're doing. Over the last 3 years, we've worked with companies that are going to be creating just shy of 1,000 new jobs in our community.
1,000 jobs.
1,000 jobs. So I'm really proud of that. And we continue to tell the story of St. Petersburg around the world. Chris mentioned that we went to Amsterdam. We got to tell the story there. We're telling the story all over the place. And the goal for this EDC moving forward is to stand even taller as St. Pete, to talk with an even bigger voice, and to do it far, far more often. And we hope that that's really gonna stimulate a lot more growth here. We've had a lot of great wins in this community of new businesses moving here, of great businesses that are growing here. I'm looking at one of our new friends to the community right here that we've been working with for the past couple of months, and one of these days we're going to do a ribbon cutting with them.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready. I'm back.
So all in all, we are doing incredibly well, and a big thank you to you, Chris, and the folks of the city for kicking this thing off as the EDC 3.5 years ago and giving me a platform to do what I love doing.
Right on. Cool. So we're creating jobs, guys. That's good. So a couple other quick things. So you and I are working on something pretty special.
Yes.
Because of the information we've received from your investors and our members about how do we make sure that our businesses always have the right kind of talent. And I know we're not going to show much, but give people a sneak peek of what's about to happen.
So for businesses right now, the question always is about talent. It's talent, talent, talent all day long and twice on Sundays. And so what we have to do as a community is make sure that we have the talent that we need in this community to fill the jobs that are being created. We've got incredible school systems. We've got incredible university systems. By the way, the state of Florida, number one university system in the country right now.
Wow.
But that, combined with the 150 people that are moving to our region every day, are still not enough to fill all the jobs that are going to be created. So the Chamber and the EDC are working together, and we will be rolling out what we're calling a talent attraction initiative called Become St. Pete. And looking forward to rolling that out at our annual meeting in just a couple of weeks.
Beautiful. All right, so you're going to hear more about talent attraction going forward. Thank you, JP. Well done. And so we're going to send you an email. You saw a little screenshot of it. We're going to create a site where you, as your businesses, can post what we're calling the cool jobs of St. Pete. And then he, as the apostle that goes out to the rest of the world and tells people, is going to get us the traction so that people know you guys are here. So we'll build your brand that you're a St. Petersburg company, but we'll also build some talent pipeline for you, okay? And that's what we heard from you all, and that's what we're going to do together. So thank you for that. All right, I think the meeting's over. We haven't even done half of it yet, so, and I'm afraid to go back. But before I do, what I'd love to do is set the stage for the next part of this. You hear Grow Smarter, you're going to hear more about it. You've heard about you feel somewhat successful. There's a lot of things going on. But I got to be honest with you, 2 weeks ago now, I think it was 2 weeks ago, might have been last week, the city did its economic scorecard. Did anyone go to the economic market scorecard? Yes, so there's a lot of people that did. Holy cow, if you didn't go, I'll cut to the end of it where it's like, we are doing great, guys, as a community. And then when the way the city, the mayor, and the mayor's team laid this out, it blew me away. And so what I'd love to do is we're going to transition into the next part by just spending a few minutes with Alan Delisle, our city administrator, that really is our economic development key person. So Alan, please, let's welcome Alan to the stage. Thank you. So Alan, you've been on board now about 5 or 6 years now?
Five years of yesterday.
Right. So tell people, Alan Delisle is getting some love for 5 years. Well done, buddy. You don't get that in most markets, huh?
No, don't get it at home.
So
only kidding, Ken.
We've been through a lot together, but you started, you were so excited when you saw that we had a plan. Tell me a little bit about your transition from Durham, where we're, everybody wants to be Raleigh-Durham. You came to St. Pete. Tell me about a little bit about what you saw and what you have seen going forward.
Yeah, Chris, Raleigh-Durham is all about economic development and job growth. They know how to do it. And they do a strategic business development plan every 5 years, something like that. And I was in the middle of that for years and kind of saw how it worked. It was a great system. All the education systems, the workforce systems were all lined up. Anyway, to make a long story short, when I got here, I don't think I knew that there was a Grow Smarter plan. And I remember the mayor maybe the first or second day saying, read this. And I remember being so moved by it because it was exactly right on. It's exactly what a community should do, is focus on the industries that mean that they're going to create the most jobs and the highest income so that we can build a system around them. And that's exactly what we've done over the last 5 years. JP has obviously been a big part of that, the Chamber. And, we've grown those jobs now to represent about 33% of our employment in the city. It used to be like 25%, 26%. We've grown that over the last 5 years, and it's now about a quarter of our employment. So when the tough times come, the recessions hit, we're gonna be more diversified as a community. And we've got higher income. Income is up.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So when I was there, I heard, I knew because we've been doing all this work, but you rarely get to say, hey, how did this plan work? And then you guys rolled out, you've got 5 years of data now. So we started this plan 6 years ago, guys. They've got 5 years of hard data. I think we got the summary slide of this, but just tell people why we should be excited about this slide right here.
Well, and this is, I've never seen this in my career.
You've seen the slide, though.
I've seen the slide, okay. But I've never seen numbers like this, even in Durham when I was there, and we did the same thing in Durham. And by the way, these are very objective data points. This is state and federal data. It's not something that we dream up as a city or to make us look good. These are actual data points that we look at every year, and we've been looking at it for 5 years, so it's clear trends. So we had improvements in our measurements, 41 out of 43 improvements in our basic data that we look at within the city. We are in the top half of our peer cities 10 out of 15 times. And this is the one that people miss, in my opinion. We were ahead of the MSA. If you look at the MSA number and look at St. Pete, we are better than the MSA 12 out of 14 of our measures. So now I know why they're stealing our name.
Ooh, nice one. Well played, Alan. Throws one into the end there. Wow.
I suppose I should sit down after that.
Yeah, I think you ought to sit down. Because if they start shooting, they might hit me instead. But what was not, I hope it's not lost on you, that your business has a strategy, it works a plan, and usually gets the results that, or hopefully gets the results. Our city, thanks to you and our mayor and the mayor's team and you and everybody else, we worked the plan, and look what we got, guys. We improved in 41 of the 43 things we said we wanted to improve in. I think that's pretty good. That's an A, right? Thank you for that. All right, and before I head back up there, I want both of you guys to recognize one other piece of this whole thing. It's about not just attracting the businesses that stay here, because we do that pretty well now. We've got a good story. But we also do a pretty good job of growing the businesses that are here, right? You've got a lot of our logos up here that we've done a lot of good things for, Raymond James and Jabil and others. And I just want to call to your attention, we're about to do some really great things for another big business. Just so you're aware, I've got, you know, right next to JP, I have Brian Auld and Stuart Sternberger, the Tampa Bay Rays here, right? And the Tampa Bay Rays. Thank you all. Thank you. Good to see you. Just so you know, whatever you read about in the newspaper, don't. Come talk to the Chamber of Commerce. Come talk to Brian Auld. Come talk to our city. We're actually really close, guys. We are looking ahead to 2028. And we're going to have the Tampa Bay Rays and the Tampa Bay Rowdies in our community. Will you help me do that? I need help from you guys to do that, all right? So please participate. When we talk about it, when we're convening about it, when people are saying, how does it impact your business, please talk about this. We worked really hard at this chamber. I've got a lot of my past chairs. Dave Wilbanks is here from 1990 chair. Dave, are you still here, buddy? Hopefully he's here. He was the chair when I started at the Chamber in 1990, and they were working their rear ends off to try to get baseball here, guys. We owe it to them to make sure that this company is prolifically, wonderfully successful in St. Petersburg, and we're going to do that together, all right? Thank you, guys. Hey, Julie, I think I'm holding the wrong part of my head. Is. I wish I was Jewish. All right. So, Bill, I'm done here.
Yes,
and
you
done,
are.
And you're done up there. So for your last thing, while I make it back up there, will you go ahead and start handing the gavel off to Ryan so we can...
I certainly will, because these folks need to hear the second half of this presentation. Thank you. Okay, everybody, I'm going to speed this up so we can keep going. As my last act at the Chamber Chair, it is my honor to provide you with the nominating committee submitted and the board approved slate of officers and board members for 2020. Our new board chair will be Ryan Griffin from Johnson Pope. The rest of his executive committee members are on the screen. And additionally, while it's too large to read, these are your 2020 Board of Governors. So without any further ado, let me introduce to you our 2020 Board of Governors Chair, Ryan Griffin. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, first, I just want to say thank you, Bill, so much for the leadership you've shown to the chamber. And also, being able to serve alongside you this year has been incredible. You've taught me a lot. You've been a great mentor, and it's definitely been an interesting year. So thank you for everything you've done.
My pleasure. You're great.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Hold on a second. Bill's trying to leave, isn't he?
Well, you're telling me it's time
to go. All right.
No.
Yep.
This
Bill, this is usually where we.
Stage.
Yeah, it says exit stage, does it? Yeah, I didn't read
it. Does
that
say that. Yes,
it does say that. Permit me again. So, Bill, you didn't like surprises?
Yeah,
oh, crap.
Excuses are babysitting, too.
You're going to serve another year. Yeah. Congratulations.
All right.
Wonderful.
So, one thing Bill asked, Bill had one request about January of last year when we started working. He's like, you know, George F. Young, his business, is going to be 100 years old. And we were going to do a great ribbon cutting. We were going to celebrate. We were going to get proclamations. We were going to do stuff about that. And we ran out of time. I was not in the seat. So Bill took care of you guys rather than himself. So permit me just to brag one second about George F. Young in 100 years. So, and Tom? So George F. Young is 100 years old. They are civil engineers, which means you're
land surveyors and
utility. I thought it meant nice. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Not nice engineers. Okay. And this is Tom Green. So we were going to do a big ribbon cutting. They're like, you don't have enough time for that. But I really wanted, and the mayor and the deputy mayor's not feeling well, and mayor's out of town. But what we did, one of the first things we did is, Tom's our assistant city manager, administrator. He's got a proclamation for George F. Young. And if just, you don't have to read it all, but just tell a little bit about what that says for us. So.
Yes, absolutely. And just really quickly, they don't let me out of the city hall very often, so I appreciate the opportunity
Thanks,
to
Tom.
Come and spend a couple minutes with you. And really, the George F. Young company is, in my mind, it's kind of like the Lou Gehrig or the Cal Ripken Jr. You know, their consistency over the last 100 years being a staple in our community, we're sincerely grateful for their presence here. And I'll just read a couple of lines from this proclamation, and it reads, whereas George F. Young was was founded by pioneer engineer and surveyor George Fleming Young in 1919, and whereas from the beginning, the idea was simple, provide the highest attention to solutions and stay passionately committed to integrity, quality, and service. And whereas George F. Young is a federally certified small business, and whereas one of the most recognized long-standing companies in Florida, George F. Young offers a dedication to service their clients with the very best civil engineering service and putting the customers at the center of everything they do. Now, therefore, I, Tom Green, on behalf of Rick Kreisman, Mayor of the City of St. Petersburg, Florida, do hereby proclaim January 23rd, 2020, to be George F. Young Day in St. Petersburg, and ask that citizens join me in celebrating 100 years of business.
All right.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
What are you doing?
Before I say, how many other 100-year-old businesses are here? Who? That's not 100 years old, is it? YMCA, there we go, David. All right, well done, YMCA. You got partners. All right, your dad's in the audience. Is Lou here?
He's right up there.
Lou ran the business for 35-plus years, right, Lou? So I'm glad you're here. I think Mary's helped us get a lot of your other key board members and advisors and committee members. Is that true?
So they're out there.
To George F. Young crowd, thank you all very much for what you've done for our community. These folks literally know where everybody is buried in St. Pete. They really do. So, Bill, that's one way just to say thank you. What a celebration. You were so selfless, making sure it wasn't about you, but I wanted to make sure it was a little bit about you.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a privilege.
Gotcha. But wait, there's more. Cue the music. We'll wait for it all night long. I don't care. I have no idea what's going on. There it is. All right, let's Member of the Year! There it is! Ronell, where's Ronell? So that was Ronelle Montgomery. She won it last year.
So I have to come back.
You have to come back now, so that's how we get you back. So I can't believe you didn't ask, well, who's going to be member of the year? You forgot about it, and we're so glad we were able to surprise
you. I thought it was another past chair.
There was nobody. I know that so many of you work so hard out there for us, but this guy worked two jobs while working all these other volunteer stuff. So, Bill, thank you again. You are member of the year.
Thank you.
All right.
Great job.
All right, Bill's gone. We're a little behind, but we're in good shape for the rest of this. We started 10 minutes late, so we're in good shape. We'll end in time here. While we get this set up and Ryan's getting started, Ryan, you can go ahead and get yourself situated. There's a lot of work ahead. You heard a lot about our Chamber Next strategy. You've heard a lot about all these different organizations that we're part of and that we're affiliated with. What I thought I would like to do for you now is assemble some of Ryan's executive committee members, as well as some other executive of the community that we support. And we're going to have a conversation about what is next. And as you know, Ryan has led us both as our advocacy chair, and Ryan has led us as our Grow Smarter chair as well. And now he's going to lead us as our chamber chair. So he's done a lot for us on this effort. But he's not alone, because you heard Bill say we're not alone when we do this. Joining Ryan, and there should be joining him right now, joining Ryan, and let me greet him because they're an awesome group. The first is Dr. Sri Sundaram, the Dean of the Kate Tiedemann School of Business. Sri is our outgoing chair of Grow Smarter, and now he's the incoming chair of our chamber. Welcome, Sri. Dr. Tashika Griffith. She's the provost of the downtown and midtown campuses and the Palladium for our St. Pete College, and now she is our Grow Smarter chair for 2020. Welcome, Dr. Griffith. It appears you must need a doctorate to be a chamber chair here. It looks good. Jason Jensen is the principal with Wanamaker Jensen Architects. He's a past chair of the Chamber's Building Committee, and he's now vice chair of our advocacy efforts. Welcome, Jason. April Harley. April Harley is the supplier diversity manager with Jones Lang LaSalle, and she's also the co-chair of Inclusive St. Pete, an economic growth initiative at One Community Plan. Welcome, April. We're glad you're back. Ann Pollock is here. Ann is a partner with Fletcher Fisher Pollock. So last year at this time, it was Fletcher and Fisher. Now it's Fletcher, Fisher, and Pollock. So good job, Anne. Well done on that. Congratulations. She's our past chair of our Sustainability Council, and she's now the chair of our advocacy efforts. Welcome. And finally, David Vetter. David is the executive VP, chief legal officer of Tech Data. And David is our incoming chair of our Chamber Next efforts. Ryan, I don't see any room for me, and I'm leaving, and your meeting is all yours.
Excellent. Thank you for having this opportunity to have this conversation. Thank you to our panelists to have this discussion with us today. So first, I think our goal of our conversation is twofold. One is to pair our leadership objectives for the chamber, which are up here on the board, also in your program, with a few issues that are on our horizon and that are coming up. And the other thing is to offer some optimism and some confidence that we as a city are ahead of other cities for different initiatives that are coming based upon the collaborative effort that we have all been working towards. So with that said, I'd like to kind of start with how our city, our chamber, our community work on prosperity and community efforts through Grow Smarter. And I'd like to start with Dr. Sri Sundaram, who is the chair of Grow Smarter. Sri, welcome.
Thank you, Ryan. Good evening, everyone.
And Sri, you've been here with us a number of years to this area, and you've done a lot of things, a lot of hats. You are the running USF School of Business, handling the chamber activities, running Grow Smarter. Don't know how you find time. But I know that when we've talked about this, when we were just starting out, we were having discussions about how equitable economic growth and how equity could play a role in economic growth, and we were having those discussions. And for us, it was something that we were just kind of getting a hold of, but now I feel in the past couple years, we've started to understand it. We've started to have it part of our how we communicated in our narrative. And I kind of want to talk to you, seeing now other communities that want to follow us in how equitable economic development can play towards a community and really grow it. Now you're seeing other communities are doing that. How does that make you feel?
You know, that's a great question. You know, Ryan, I came to this community about 4 years ago. It was great to hear that we had a very intentional plan for community and economic development. You saw the numbers at the State of the Economy presentation. What we have done is amazing as a community. Double-digit growth in household income, double-digit reduction in poverty, and the ability to do that means we need an intentional plan, but also collaboration. But what I'm most proud of is, as a community member, is what you talked about. We have really focused on equitable economic growth, making sure that we make sure all of the boats are risen in this particular economic growth that we have seen, specifically by race and place. So irrespective of what race we are or where we live, we're able to continue to grow that. We have work to do, but we have moved the direction in the right area, and we have continued to grow the income and the wealth.
Fantastic. I know that one of the things you're working on this year is really making sure that Grow Smarter had the structure that it needed in order to achieve its goals. And I know that that was a lot of work you put into it. Kind of share with you, where are we with that? How did that work out?
Again, it's a tremendous partnership. It's a collaboration. We have identified our mission is equitable economic growth with three strategic priorities. We want to make sure there is overall prosperity to the city of St. Petersburg residents. We want to make sure we narrow the gaps by race and place. We also want to make sure we have an inclusive, as Chris would say, there's something special about the air in St. Pete, and we want to be an inclusive community. And we want those are the three priorities we're working with.
Fantastic. I'd like to turn it to Tashika, who's actually the incoming chair of the Grow Smarter Initiative. So welcome. Thank you for
being
here.
Thank you.
She is also the provost of two St. Pete College campuses. Again, I don't know how you guys have time, but you do. And I know that with you, Tashika, being a resource for job growth is important. But it's more than that. What opportunities does Grow Smarter present to be successful at St. Pete College?
It has presented limitless possibilities, just as Sri mentioned, this notion of this collective partnership, being able to connect directly to industry leaders, to know exactly what's up and coming in terms of what the college needs to know to prepare its students for employment. It's just been amazing to have that opportunity. I think in terms of my role as provost, I'm actively out in the community, really making sure that all of the resources, all of the skill sets are available to me so I can then share that with the students, because the students want to put themselves in places to obtain jobs that leads to careers. So having an opportunity to sit next to employers and come back to the students and connect them directly to those employers, it's exciting. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of our students come to us. And we also have a lot of existing folks who, adult learners, who actively are seeking to advance themselves. So they have jobs, but they want to know, how do I get promoted? How do I advance myself in my current role? So being able, again, to talk to them about skill sets that they need to enhance, I would not know that information if I did not connect to the industry partners. And Grow Smarter has been vital in that, because we have everybody at the table, right? So I have the connection with the community, with the students, but now I also have the connection with the employers. So sometimes I can just get out of the way and let everybody just ask the questions directly and get that information directly. And Grow Smarter has been integral to that.
And so it sounds that this collaborative model has been integral towards the public-private partnership and getting these things accomplished?
It definitely has, even in terms of what we look forward to for a rising industry. I have a very specific example that I can give for St. Pete College and my downtown campus. I know that for Grow Smarter, we've identified five targeted industries, and financial services is one of those industries. Well, with that knowledge and with the data and connecting, again, with the employers in that industry, I was able to actually work with the dean from our college, the College of Business dean, to bring a financial services AS degree to our downtown campus. So again, that's just one example of how we use that information, Grow Smarter goes out and helps to get that information, and how we actually operationalize it to make it make sense and for it to benefit our students. It's just been great for me to have.
Thank you. I feel like we're in great hands with Grow Smarter, so thank you very much for your efforts. But I know that our community is more than just jobs and education that we talked about. It's also about space and place. And if we create jobs, but we have nowhere to put the jobs, that creates a problem. And I know we've had an issue with that recently and a shortage. I know, Jason, you've been working on some of those issues to correct it. Tell us how that work's gone.
Well, I was thinking back when we had the... There we go. Ryan, when we were hitting baseballs in Durham and and looking around office space, they have all these cool office spaces. And that was thinking outside the burg, the chamber, taking me a place, opening my eyes, and then bringing that back to St. Pete and challenging me personally to say, hey, our business is growing. We need some cool office space, not just your regular office space. We need cool office space. And we decided, hey, we need to take it upon ourselves, develop it, design it, build it ourselves, and make it happen. We're not going to wait. Office space hasn't happened here in 10 years. This is the first new office space. Since then, we're seeing UPC, Dynasty Financial, we're seeing the police station get redeveloped, and right on the horizon, something that we all need to be paying attention to is what happens with the TROP site. So these are all pieces that are collaborations between the city, businesses, and offices that we really need to pay attention to, but that's really not even what I'm most excited about.
That is a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
I have to buy the next episode of Netflix. Okay, you got me. What is your favorite?
So really, another project that we were able, blessed to get involved with was the Carter G. Woodson Museum. You think about a museum, you don't necessarily think first business, but the arts is a business in St. Pete, and it attracts businesses to particular areas. So the city, the businesses, the chamber, the community got together to say this needs to be on 22nd Street. And along with that, the warehouse district, arts district is growing. Along with that, Deuces Rising is talking about how we make pedestrian-friendly businesses. How do we get people to the front door of these businesses? They need to know where they are. They need to be able to get to them. We have Tangerine Plaza that's getting redeveloped with the city's collaboration. These are all collaborative projects that have to come together with this convening nature that the Chamber is helping bring to it. And really, we have a lot of work to do, and our work is not done until we bring equity and jobs and prosperity to all of our community.
That's fantastic. Thank you. It is great to hear that there's so many people playing and caring about the growth throughout our city, so thank you very much. And April, I wanted to chat with you just for a moment. Your efforts with One Community and the Minority Business Accelerator, I kind of wanted to just chat with you. We were talking about space and place, but at the same point, it's also about businesses, too, and growing those businesses. Can you tell me how your progress is going with that?
Sure. In my role with One Community, they're transitioning. It's a nonprofit organization that's transitioning its focus from poverty reduction that they've been successful with pretty well in the south side of St. Pete, and now moving toward economic development through inclusion. And as Gypsy Gallardo, one of the leaders of the organization, says, putting real money in the pockets of real people. So really looking at the bottom line and how it's impacting wealth creation. And so the objective of Inclusive St. Pete is focused on the superheroes of our market, the entrepreneur. We know how important small businesses are to the fabric of our community and the marketplace. And we just can't afford to have an entire population or community that's languishing that don't see the opportunity to grow their businesses. And so that's what the two-pronged effort around Inclusive St. Pete is focused on. So one is the Minority Business Accelerator, and that's looking at minority businesses, a group, and helping them grow their capacity and bench strength. We'll leverage great organizations such as the Greenhouse, the Small Business Development Center that already have expertise in that area, but really closing up the gaps and taking them through, say, a one-year program and graduating them and ensuring that they are now in a position to do business, to do big business. And then the second part, which is really my love and what I've done for many years, I did it for Duke Energy for half of my career, and that's around supplier diversity engagement. So that's taking some of our large corporations and public institutions and really digging in to how they do business and looking at their procurement processes and finding ways to help them see how to do business for small, local, minority-owned organizations. We spend a lot of money in St. Pete, the businesses do, and so we believe there's a great opportunity to grow that sweet potato pie so that everyone can have a piece of it. And I just want to say that the Chamber and Grow Smarter, the city, have been very engaged and just really appreciate the candid conversations and the willingness to come forth and look for solutions.
Fantastic. So I think we've recognized the power of inclusive economic development rooted in equity. We've understood the power of putting employers and our higher learning institutions together and getting that working as a symbiotic relationship. We learned about the fact that we need places and spaces for this retention and job growth. So that doesn't end there. I know we're optimistic about growth, but we have other issues to consider if we're going to have this growth. Some of those issues are affordability and resiliency. And there, when you're living on a peninsula as we are here in Pinellas County, land is critical. And if we want to grow, we must consider density. So I kind of wanted to turn to Ann. Ann has led our resiliency committee efforts over the last year, done a great job of that. She's also a land use attorney, so perfect person to talk to. She's also the incoming chair for our public policy committee. And when we hear things about 41% of our land is going to be taken offline to be able to increase density, should we be worried about those things when we're also talking about growth and growth aspirations?
We definitely need to be worried about it. We are dealing with affordable housing issues, with economic growth issues, with job growth issues. And on top of that, overlying all of it, we're dealing with adaptation to climate change. As you said, we are that peninsula on the peninsula, and we need to have a place to grow and to resolve these questions. And as we look at sustainability and resiliency, which are issues that my firm has looked at, which is issues that the Chambers has looked at, we need to figure out ways to move forward that can solve all the problems. The coastal high hazard area is basically the area that is determined to be the most dangerous, the most likely to get damaged by a storm, by storm surge. And FEMA has recently updated their maps thanks to better data, better technology, and changes in land use. They have updated those maps so that in the city of St. Pete, the coastal high hazard area, which was once about 22%, now is 41% of our city. The city has a rule, as a law, that it doesn't allow increases in density in the coastal high hazard area. And for a long time, that wasn't really a huge problem because that 20% is a lot of public land, is single family housing. It wasn't something that was deeply concerning. But when you talk about that 41%, we're talking about a lot of areas in the city that the city has already targeted for economic growth, for redevelopment, like the Innovation District, USF St. Pete, 4th Street North, Carillon area, the Gateway area, where Jabil's located, the Skyway Marina District, all of these areas that now we are limited and cannot grow in a way that we probably need to in order to resolve some of these problems. Thankfully, the city is working on an ordinance to deal with this. They are looking to allow the opportunity to have greater density within the coastal high hazard area, ultimately on a case-by-case basis. And they are doing it alongside increased and more stringent regulations to ensure that the buildings that are built are resilient to storms and to flooding and to wind, that they are recognizing and mitigating for the services and the infrastructure that the city has to provide to deal with these storms, that they are looking at evacuation and getting back to your place of living. So, with this opportunity, which I feel it's important for the Chamber to support, we're allowing us to find better and more available and possible and hopefully safe opportunities to have these places and spaces.
And you know, being the incoming advocacy chair, you're going to deal with a lot of issues like this. Resiliency, you just mentioned, affordability, and a lot of other things, high coastal hazard. All these issues are connected, though, aren't they? I mean, they all seem to play a picture, because when we're talking about the issues we're talking about with education and employers and space and place, they're all connected. And these issues as well have different rippling effects throughout our community. Can you talk about that?
They're all connected. Sustainability, resiliency, affordable housing, job growth, economic growth. They're all tied together because they all relate to how we can change and how we can move forward. I'm concerned if we can't redevelop some of these areas that aren't necessarily right at the coast, they're inland too, that we will be have a lower supply of land and opportunity, that we will be increasing costs, that we will likely lead to more gentrification of the higher ground areas that we have, that areas within the coastal high hazard that people want to redevelop, even within the existing density, it will be so cost prohibitive because they still have to deal with the flooding issues, but then they don't have the extra opportunity to add density to make the economics work. So it really is all tied together.
Great. Thank you very much. Dave, I'm going to get you into the conversation. Dave, Tech Data has been a member of the Chamber for many, many years, and you've recently got involved in our strategic efforts and will be chairing our Chamber Next committee and on our executive committee, so welcome. I appreciate your service. How does a firm like yours look at this work, and why are you personally involved?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And first, can you pass the salt?
Yeah. There you go.
First, why I'm personally involved. I've spent my entire career as a member of this community, and all of my work has been done here. I have a family that I'm raising in this community, so as the community gets better, it's better for me, it's better for my family, and makes perfect sense. Tech Data, Fortune 88 on the Fortune 500 this year, but it started out as a family business here in this community, and its growth and its success is highly connected to the resources this community has had to offer in terms of the team, the employees. Tech Data doesn't manufacture anything, so our success is highly dependent on the success of our colleagues, both here and around the world. And in today's business environment, those colleagues expect more from a company than just to generate profits for their shareholders. They expect a workplace that cares about the community in which we work and we live. They care about, they expect a workplace that tries to help them solve the problems that they care about. And so being a member of this organization, where Tech Data, even as large as it is, it can't do anything unless it collaborates and works together with the talents within the community and the expertise in the community to help solve those problems both within the community and around the world. So that's why we're involved.
Thank you. And I know that we spent a lot of time in our committee meetings talking about the complexity of community growth. And as you've heard, all these issues kind of play with each other. And we have a lot on our table in Chamber Next and what we're going to be doing in our strategic plan. Dave, now that you're on my team, how are we going to get this done?
Yeah, it's a complex set of problems, but you got to measure it. We've got to look for data that are both leading indicators and lagging indicators to show us measures of our success. We need to create dashboards. So, for example, you know, if we care about job growth and equitable growth, some dashboards that show how the jobs we're creating compare against a living wage, and are we moving in the right direction? Are we managing that correctly? You know, when we talk about places to live and work, you know, what are we doing in terms of ensuring affordability and the growth of opportunity of those places? And then tracking things like commute times, what quality of life, how long does it take us to get to where we want to work or play or shop, right? So it's all about finding the right data, the right measures to help us determine whether we're being successful with the collaborative efforts that this organization is so well placed to orchestrate for us.
Well, thank you. And also thank you to Tech Data. You've shared a lot of your data people with us to work on this effort and these initiatives. So thank you to Tech Data as well. Well, I think we're out of time. I'd like to have a round of applause for our panelists. Thank you very much for your time and devotion to come here today. Thank you very much. All right. As they exit, I know that we have food and drink out there, so I will keep my last remarks short. As I mentioned before, I'm honored to be the incoming chair for 2020 of your Chamber of Commerce. Before I adjourn, I do want to recognize several people for whom this event cannot be possible, and I do want to give you a couple takeaways. Before I begin on that, I don't know if you've met my wife. She's probably here in the audience. I don't know where she is. There she is. But if you know my wife, we are very much opposites. Opposites attract very much on this. And so one of the ways we're opposite is my wife will tell me that I probably will provide, I'm changing the words, too much context to something, whereas she is the opposite. She is short, concise, direct, all business. An illustration of her conciseness and also probably my hankering to provide more context, I remember when I first was going to propose to her, I planned this long, loving dissertation that I was going to tell her, and I began on it, and she gave me one of these, which I think is a universal sign for fast forward to the point that she wanted to get to. I thought, will you marry me? Yes. And she's also smart because then she said, and what were you saying about all that stuff, like you love me, right? So definitely went back on that. But with that, I will keep this very short, to the point, and bullet points. She's the queen of bullet points. So I have four things to kind of walk away with that I want you to leave you with. One, I would like to recognize my firm, Johnson Pope, Boca Ruppel, and Burns. We have been in the community for 45 years. We are the co-title sponsor here tonight, and we're very proud to be so. I know I have a lot of colleagues in the audience. I think I have my partners and colleagues. Raise your hand if you're here. I got some people in the box over there. Thank you for attending, but more importantly, I also want to thank my firm just for the commitment to this chamber, the commitment to this community, and also the commitment to my dedication of the last 6 years of the chamber. It's taken a lot of time, and I appreciate them picking up the slack for me, so thank you very much. About our firm, I want to say, I did say we've been around for 45 years in the community. However, our offices have been in Tampa Bay and Clearwater. And 6 years ago, we're really new to St. Pete. 6 years ago, we decided to take a bet on St. Pete, a big bet. And we said, we think we can make it in St. Pete. We can start an office in St. Pete. And for us, we thought that because of the strong culture that's here in St. Pete, the support that the community gives businesses, and the business opportunities that we saw coming down the line. So with that, three lawyers, maybe one of them, said, okay, we're going to do this. We're all in. We're all in for St. Pete. And we took over 10,000 square feet. It was way more than we needed, starting out with three people. And for a part there, it seemed a little eerie, kind of like the little boy on the tricycle in The Shining, on the empty haunted house of the hotel. But never fear. Quickly, there was a knock on our door. That knock was Ann Drake McMullen. Ann's here tonight, past chair of the chamber, and Chris Steinacher. And they came on behalf of the chamber, and they had a simple statement. Welcome. How can we help? See, we had a vision for St. Pete and a vision for success for our firm, but often you can't do that without partners. And that's what the chamber did for us. It provided a great partnership, and it helped us. Whether that was through marketing opportunities, whether that was through leadership development, through Leadership St. Pete, Leadership St. Pete's in the house. Giving us meaningful connections, or just welcoming us and giving us the confidence to know we could be an integral part and partner of this community in a very, very short period of time. And so from that, I'm glad to announce we have 20 lawyers in our office, 12 staff, and a title company that employs four people. So we've come a long way in that 6 years. However, I'd like to tell you I'm even more proud that in 90 days, we now have outgrown our space. We're moving over to the Tampa Bay Times building to double our space to 20,000 square feet and look to double our firm in about 2 to 3 years. So our vision has become a reality. Thank you. Our vision has become a reality, but that was done because of help with partners, partners like the Chamber. We are all in for St. Pete. Right, we are here, and we're going to stay here, and we're going to work it and help everyone out. So thank you to my firm. Secondly, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. Just so you know me on a personal level, I'm born and raised here. My mom, Susie, I think might be here, and my dad, Bill, moved here from Iowa. And I want to say thank you not only for being great parents, but also for choosing such a great location to make home. St. Pete has definitely been that for our family. I wanted to tell you, obviously, I'm a lawyer at Johnson Pope. I help small businesses, big businesses, but I'm also an entrepreneur at heart. I own a bunch of small businesses in town, and the Mandarin Hyde, Trophy Fish, Saki 23, and other businesses around Tampa Bay. I also have chaired the Public Policy Committee, as we talked about, and also chaired the Grow Smarter Equitable Economic Development Committee for 2 years. But what I really want you to take away about me is that I love this city. I know you guys do too, but I'm passionate about this city. And I will tell you, whenever somebody comes to our community, whether it be consultants, whether it be other chairs of other chambers, whether it be other city officials coming from other cities, they always leave saying, gosh, you know what? Everybody says the same thing on the beginning or the end of when they talk about St. Pete.
I love St. Pete.
There you go, T. I know your voice so well. I can't see you, but I love you. And I do. And so I want you to know, as incoming chair of the chamber, I'm here for you. Call me. Contact me. Okay? I'm always available. I want to help. Okay? Know that you have me and that I'm all in St. Pete. And I'm here for you. So that's really, really important to me. You take advantage of that because I want to give back, right? The same assistance that was given to our firm 6 years ago to make our visions a reality, I want to make sure that I get that back for your city to make us the best we can be as a community. Thirdly, you heard a lot of things tonight about the impacts, the positive impacts that the chamber is making. You heard about affordability, things we're working on, diversity, inclusion, equitable economic growth, education. These are all really big things. These are not chamber things. And I want you guys to know, as chamber members, where your money's going. I want you to know, this is not the services that you get with the chamber. This is much more than that. And you should be very proud of your efforts to build this kind of chamber that takes on huge issues that affect all of us, okay? And that is so important because we are now set for success. And that is something that is going to be great. I also want to acknowledge the fact is we live in a community that anyone, everyone, can actually make an impact to the future of this city if they wanted to. And not every city can say that. So that is just so powerful, and we're so fortunate that that's how we are here in St. Pete. We're so welcoming. So thank you. So I challenge you tonight, right? I challenge you to be all in for the chamber. Be all in for the community. Make an impact. Leave your mark, okay? Make us better, okay? And we're here to help, but I know that you can do it on your own. We've got some very talented people. Lastly, I just want to touch on family. I'm sticking to my bullet points. Number four, family. I did talk about my mom and dad here tonight. I also have some other members of my family, my sister Whitney, my brother Nick, my extended family. I think my stepdad Neil, who was a past chair of the chamber in 1989, is here. Thank you all for coming. Beyond that, my chamber family, the board of directors you saw on that screen, the executive committee that you also saw on the screen, thank you guys very much for the devotion and the time you're going to be giving me to make sure that all the things we're talked about tonight get accomplished. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. The chamber staff and Chris, thank you for everything you're doing, especially Ariel and Courtney. They've made this place beautiful this evening. Round of applause. It made it a remarkable evening, and this is a beautiful facility, so we're very, very fortunate to have it here. I also wanted to talk to the chamber membership and everyone out there. Understand that the chamber is all in for you, okay? You are part of the chamber family, right? So I want you to know that you're not alone. Business is tough, but we're here to help, and we got the resources. You heard a lot of talented people up here, and let's all work together under one tent to be as strong as we can be. Last but not least, I want to recognize my wife and my 10-week-old son. Yes, Liam. 10 weeks old. If you have a baby, you're not getting much sleep. But I feel I look pretty good for 22 years old, right? I mean, I look pretty good. To my wife, I just want to say you are my confidant. You're my biggest supporter, love of my life. I just want to say, you know, thank you so much to my best friend for enduring the hours that I've put in the past and will be putting in to different community initiative and chamber initiatives and be away from home. And I just want to say thank you for all your support. And to my son, Liam, 10, he's watching this at home. We did this for you, buddy. We won. Yes. I think that's the Oscars. Matthew McConaughey does that. Thank you for indulging me in that just because I see it on TV all the time. It's the last chance I get. No, but for my son, all kidding aside, it's for my son, it's for your children. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, same message, a promise, my promise. My promise is that I'm going to work tirelessly to make sure that I leave this chamber and this community better than I found it. And I owe that to you guys, and you have that as a promise. So I'm excited about what's next, and that will adjourn our event. We have food and beverage sponsors outside, which are our members. They're going to be up on the screen behind me. Please, I'd like to give a warm thank you to them for all the efforts and donations and commitments that they've done. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for attending. Good night.